Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so excited to share the message of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace with you today in the area of the fulfillment of the law. This is the fourth session on the fulfillment of the law, and I advise you to get the first three sessions. Man, it is life-changing. It is such a blessing. You know, every time when I minister this, I just feel more of God's liberty manifesting in my body, in my mind, in my soul, and just the power of God in me, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the more we see God's way of doing things, the more we will experience God's way of doing things. Amen. Today we're going to have a look at where the law comes from. And if you've got a Bible with you, we can go to Genesis chapter 3. And this is really such an awesome piece of scripture. You know, I've seen so many people these days, and I know it's been like this all the time. It started with Adam. We want to have behavior modification preached unto us. So many times we think that the message of grace and love is tickling the ears of people, and that is what people want to hear because, you know, the Bible says in 1st or 2nd Timothy, it says that in the last days people will gather teachers that will just tickle their ears, and we think the last days is today. Now, the Bible says, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, the Bible clearly says in Acts chapter 2 that Peter stood up and he said, this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. So, the last days started directly after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's the last days. So, we shouldn't think that now is the last days are only starting. The last days, in the mind of the of Paul who wrote to Timothy, was when he lived. And he thought that that was the last days. And that's the context in which the last days, that piece of scripture, is written. So we must realize that in the last days, in the days when Paul lived on the earth, when he wrote it, there would be people that wouldn't want to hear the grace message, but they want to stick with the law, because the grace didn't tickle their ears. The grace made them upset. Why do you think that Paul suffered? Why do you think that they stoned him? Why do you think was he beaten up? Why do you think was the apostle John beaten up? Why did they beat up Peter? Only for one reason. There's just one reason. They preached something that wasn't tickling their ears. When you opened up the Torah, which is the Ten Commandments, the law of God, and you would read it unto the Jewish people of those days, it would tickle their ears. It would be so wonderful. And what they did those days was they gathered teachers that would preach the law unto them and mix it a little bit with grace. And we can see that in Acts chapter 21, where James came to Paul, and he said unto Paul, Paul, quickly go and shave your head and make a custom and have people shave their heads, made a custom or a Jewish tradition, obey the tradition so that people might not think that you are a grace preacher who preached and told people to fall back or to get out of the law and not to circumcise your children. Because there were church people, there were Christians in those days, and you can read in Acts 21 from verse 19, where Paul came and he testified, and then James said, look how many Christians or how many Jews were converted that are still zealous of the law. So those people would never want to listen to Paul. His preaching would never tickle their ears, and they gathered for themselves preachers that would tickle their ears. So never think that the message of grace is not God's word. The message of grace is God's word. And the message of by what you do, you must become, is not God's word. Now you might say, oh Bertie, you must be careful. No, I am very careful. That's why I say that. We must realize that the grace message is that which will empower you. And before we get more into Genesis chapter 3 and where the law comes from and where it was instigated, and in Exodus 20, where it was given, I want to just say this, that grace is not treating people better than what they deserve. That's not grace. Grace is not forgiving people. That's not grace. That is mercy. Mercy is to treat somebody better than what he or she deserves. That's mercy. You can go and check it. In the Hebrew and the Greek, it literally means it's deeds of compassion that flows from the innermost being, the core or the spine of somebody towards somebody. To be compassionate when somebody suffers, that's mercy. When Jesus saw the multitude and they suffered, he had compassion on them. That's mercy. And then he healed them. So he felt compassion and healed them. They were all sinners, man. And Jesus healed them. He treated them better than what he deserves. And therefore, well, that is called mercy. Now, grace is something completely different. Grace is written down, and the whole message of grace, basically in Romans chapter 5. The Bible says, by faith we've got access into this grace. And then he goes and explains what grace is. And it comes down to verse 19, and this is the grace of God. That through one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and through the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Adam had a grace upon people, if I can put it that way, so that your understanding can be enlightened concerning this. Adam was gracious in this sense. Adam, on your behalf, sinned and influenced your life to every negative thing that you are experiencing today. That was the grace of Adam. Now, the grace of Jesus, now, that is grace in the negative, okay? Adam's grace was just grace in the negative. And so many times we understand something much better when you say it in the negative. But let me explain to you in the positive. Adam sinned and all became sinners. The positive, Jesus obeyed and many will be made righteous by what? Not by our obedience, but by the obedience of our representative who is Jesus. Now, that is grace. Grace is to live by the influence of God. Now, Adam did not live by the law. Adam lived by grace. God made Adam from the dust of the earth. Now, the word dust in the Hebrew language, if you take the picture value of that, it literally means, the following. To see or perceive or understand, to think and to speak. The dust that you made of, the material, that's a better word, the material that you are made of consists out of what you understand, what you meditate upon, and what you say. Okay, so your life, your whole life, what you have today consists out of and was built out of the building blocks of your understanding, your meditation, and your words. Amen. Now, he was taken from the earth. That word earth is the Hebrew word Adama, which literally means the sacrifice, which is the door unto grace. So, God took man from the Adama, the sacrifice, which is the door unto grace. And on your screen, you can see it now. It is the sacrifice, which is the door unto grace, Adama. And then, He said, out of that earth, he used dust. So what he said is, your life will consist of understanding, thinking of and speaking the sacrifice, which is the door unto God's grace. And that's how God made man, to be influenced by him, to be influenced by his life. When he made man, he made him from the dust of the earth. He blew the breath of life, the ruach, the wind, the spirit of God into him. He breathed upon him. And what's very nice about breathing, the word hey, the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, is the letter for grace, and he breathed. And when you breathe heavily, you will say, like hey. And that is what God did unto Adam, and he blew that into his nostrils. And nostrils literally means, or the picture value of nostrils means to speak the sacrifice, or the sacrifice spoken. So what you breathe through is speaking the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now that's all into the New Testament now. You must realize, even if I read the Old, even if I read Genesis chapter 1, if I read Genesis chapter 5, if I read Malachi, if I read Esther, if I read any Old Testament prophet, if you want to see the Word of God in that Scripture, you must see Jesus. Don't have some funny interpretation of physical stuff and saying, oh, you know, that's what that was, and, you know, Elijah did this, therefore I've got to do it, or Esther did this, therefore I've got to do it, and, you know, the Israelites went through the desert, and therefore I've got to do it. You listen. All of those things speak about Jesus. It speaks about the New Testament concept, and it's an allegory of all the New Testament things. If you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph is a type of Christ. Don't say Joseph was in a pit, P-I-T. It stands for prophet in training. No, that's not what it means. Jesus Christ had a vision. He suffered under his brothers to bring redemption, not only unto his brothers, but unto all nations. That's the interpretation of the life of Joseph. You might say, but that's too simple. No, the gospel is simple. Let's open our minds to Jesus. The Bible says, and Jesus opened the scriptures unto them. When you see Jesus in the scripture will be opened unto you. Hallelujah. So that's how I interpret Genesis. That's how I interpret Exodus, Leviticus. When I see a sacrifice in Exodus, I connect it directly to Jesus. I don't want to connect it to myself. I connect it to Jesus, and I connect myself to Jesus in this form. As He is, so am I. Even in this world, even in this law system that there is today, even in this physical world that there is today, I am as He is. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That is what I believe the foundations of Scripture interpretation. Now, like I said, Adam was made from out of grace. His life consists out of God's influence. He was just a normal man made out of dust of the earth. Let's talk about it physically now. And then God, when God influenced him by his life, he became a living soul. So Adam lived because of the Spirit of God that was within him. And if we understand that, then we can understand Genesis chapter 3 and the whole temptation thing. Now the Bible says, now the serpent, now the word serpent is the word nakash, which consists out of three Hebrew characters, which is nun, chalet, and shin. Nun speaks of a fish, which speaks of a human being, or a human. And then chalet speaks of a fence. Okay, and then you get shin, which speaks of the glory of God. Now, what it literally means, the word snake, it means to take man and to separate him from glory. Now, let's look at the one that separated man from glory and how he went about to do that. Because if we can understand what he did then, we can easily see it today. Now, if the more you understand grace, the more you'll see these things. Now, what I want to say is this, and before I say this, I want to just get to the punchline and explain it. The law was not given by God. Or let me put it, say it in other words. The law was not implemented by God, but it was given by God. The law was not implemented by God, but by Adam. And then in Exodus, God gave the law unto man, which was implemented by Adam. Now, you might say, Bertie, I don't agree with that. Well, how can you say you don't agree if you haven't listened to the whole sermon? Please listen and just take this. This is such a life-changing message. And any other religion that's listening to me right now, if you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, or I don't even know all the faiths that there are on this planet. But the difference between Christianity and all other faiths is this, that in Christianity, we believe, because it is the truth, that Jesus came and obeyed the law on our behalf. We believe that it was not given by God or implemented by God, but by man, and that God had to do it to get it out of the way so that man can function not out of what he knows, but out of the life of God that indwells him. Man, I want to say it this way. Don't you want to give up all your rule-keeping religious way of thinking for the life of God to indwell you? Now, let me tell you, I don't even try to do good. I want to say it again. I know it's a shocker, but I don't even try to do good. It's what Paul the Apostle said in Galatians chapter 2 from verse 17 or 19. He said, I don't even try to do good. If I'm trying to do good to be pleasing unto God, I'm rebuilding the old barn that I've torn down. The life that you see in me, the good that you see in me, is the very life of the Son of God that manifests. And I want to say the same thing. I don't even try to do right. My life does not consist out of right and wrong. I don't try to decide, is this right or wrong? All I do is I take the scriptures, I see the finished work of Jesus, and I completely relate myself to Jesus, and I just say, as He is, so am I. And I look at His life and I say, as He is, so am I. And I receive that life. I don't try to copy the life of Jesus. I receive His life, and His life in me changed me. And the good you see, me preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, laying down my life for the kingdom of God, is not me. It's Jesus in me. Hallelujah. I have not tried to do it even. I found that Christ is doing this through me. Don't you want to give up all your laws and regulations and rules for the life of God, man? Hallelujah. That's the good news. We must get out of all this behavior modification preaching. You know how many people can, it's just, man, they just are drawn like, I don't know what, like bees to honey when they hear behavior modification preaching and where people's mistakes are mentioned and how they should change. You know, if you know what to do, how will that ever help you? If you've got R1 billion, if you are R1 billion in debt or even R100 in debt and you cannot pay it, it doesn't help you know what to do. What you must do is you must pay your debt or they're going to lock you up. So what are you going to do with that information? Because you cannot do it. You need something and some force to influence you, to have wisdom and some force to influence the guy that you owe the money to just help you or something. You need grace. Knowing what to do is not going to change you. All that we need to do is to believe on Him whom He has sent, which is Jesus the Christ, and then we will fulfill all the law by that. In other words, we'll be 100% righteous according to the law by just simply believing on the God that justifies. And I want to just put an emphasis on this, the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. I believe on Him. And you know what? He justified me. I was so ungodly. And thank God I became godly by Jesus. Thank you, my God. Now, when we look into this scripture in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see wonderful things where the devil came and just sold his thought pattern, which was, by what you do, you become, unto Adam and Eve. Now, the serpent was more subtle. The word subtle in picture value in the Hebrew language means to have the ability to nail somebody's mind to your own reflection or your own idea. Than any beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, has God said that you shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said unto her, woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, by knowing good and evil, or knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant for the eye, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. So what happened here? It's very simple. Adam and Eve, and Eve was deceived, and this is how the thing works. What is a tree? A tree is something that produces a fruit from which you will live. So if there's an apple tree is a tree that will produce a fruit which is called an apple. And if I eat it, my life will consist out of that. It will give me energy. My life will be lived out of what that fruit, out of that fruit. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is something that will produce a fruit. And out of that fruit, you will have your life. Now, it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means that you'll have to have fruit out of knowing what is right and wrong. And out of that fruit, you will have to live your life. And that fruit is desirable to make one wise. It looks good. It looks like massive wisdom. Okay? It is beautiful. The fruit of knowing right and wrong and doing the right thing looks wonderful. It looks if you're going to be blessed. It looks if you're going to prosper. It looks if you're going to have the life of God in you and all of that. But you know what? The real fruit of it is? It is death. And the deception to Eve was this, that God said the fruit of trying to be like God by knowing right and wrong is death. The thing that you'll partake of and what your life will consist of if you eat from knowing right and wrong is your life will consist out of death. Death in your finances, death in your relationships, death in your mind, death in your physical body, death in your relationships with people, death in your relationship with your children, death everywhere. If you want to live and if you want to say, I'm going to produce fruit from what I know, by knowing right and wrong, I'll become or I'll be like God. Man, the fruit of that is death. But the devil said, the fruit of that is not death, but it's life. Now, that you see, there's a tree of life. If I partake of the life of God, if I partake of Jesus, what's going to happen to me? His life is going to manifest in my life. And my life will consist out of His life in me. But if I partake of knowing right and wrong, knowing rules and regulations, and becoming like God by what I do, the fruit, what I'll partake of is death. Death will manifest and my whole life will consist out of death. Now, I can't explain that better. Maybe I can, but this is what, just take it that way. Get this CD, man. Listen to it over and over and you'll find life in you by knowing the good news and not the law. Now, Adam, by his own will, which was the representative of man, listen to this, Eve ate and nothing happened because she was not the representative of man, but Adam was. And the moment he ate, they knew that they were naked. It's the same with Jesus and us today. So many times we, as the bride of Christ, partake of the law, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we don't see the real death in us or a great manifestation of that. Why? Because Jesus did not partake of that tree. He lives by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And He's our representative. Now, later more of that. So Adam made the decision to get all of man, on behalf of all of man, he made the decision to say, all of man will be like God by knowing right and wrong. And that's what I call the ministration of death. Now you see that is the ministration of death, for they died. Let's quickly run to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and from verse 6. It says, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if, and listen to this, but if the ministration of death, which was written and engraved in stones. Now, listen, I'm not going to read the rest of that scripture, but what was written and engraved in stones you can think of? Just the Ten Commandments, the law. What was it called? It was called the ministration of death. Now, I want to ask you, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did it minister unto Adam and Eve? Death. Oh, yes. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was Adam implementing a law system. Then God gave the commandments of that law in Exodus chapter 20. So now we think God implemented the law. God never implemented the law. He didn't. Man got the law between him and God, and only God is good and by himself can do good and be God. And then man said, I will not be like God by the breath of God that's in me, by grace. And he sold grace and the grace message for the law, for the ministration of death written and engraved on stones. Man, that is an awesome, awesome teaching. If you don't know that the law was actually implemented, the ministration of death was implemented with Adam, you will think that there's certain things that you must do before Exodus chapter 20, like being circumcised, and that you must still apply today. Because circumcision came before the law, and some other things which people think that came before the law that we must do. We must realize that the ministration of death was active long before the commandments of that ministration was given. Man, that is such a powerful truth. I want to encourage you to make use of our ministry products. Man, it's up for a donation of any amount, and if you cannot donate, I'm willing to send it to you for free. Hallelujah. And I want you to get some of your friends to watch this broadcast, man. It will change their lives. If you don't know how to preach the good news or share it with somebody, get them just to watch this program with you. You'll find them. You will talk for hours after the program because God's good news is being preached. Thank you that you've listened, and God bless you.